Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, everyone, to the Luke and Pete Show episode Monday, and we are back. I hope you had a lovely weekend. My name is Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by a man by the name of Luke Moore. Hello, Luke.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 44 billion of the Luke and Pete Show. Very, very nice to be here. I'm very happy to be alongside you, Pete, my old sparring partner, and broadcasting to the literally tens of people that enjoy this show.
Exactly. Whenever I see the listenership for the show, I'm always surprised at how many people are listening and then feel very guilty at what I do on it.
But that's the same.
But it lasts for 5 minutes, that feeling.
You've got a very pessimistic outlook on life, though, Pete, as regular listeners will know. Whereas I'm a little bit more deluded. I like to think I'm really important, whereas you think that you are. You think your opinion of yourself is, frankly, absolutely horrifying.
I think with podcasts, I go, oh, that's disappointing that everyone heard that. But then I give myself a little reality check and I sort of go, Pete, you're on like 7 podcasts a week. Don't worry about it. But if you do that on every show, none of the shows are going to be good.
So, you're the only human being in the world who has more broadcasted thoughts and opinions than doesn't.
Than actually, that's a worry. That is a worry.
We should do Luke and Pete sleeps. We should just basically mic ourselves up when we're sleeping. There you go. 8 hours of content.
Fart that out.
Straight every week, easy. But what are you up to anyway? What's new?
What has been new?
I
had a pint in the street. I had a beautiful.
That's not new.
amber yellow lager from a plastic container.
Tisky.
Wasn't Tisky, it was some kind of Camden Hells kind of job. The restaurants around sort of Berwick Street Market have started selling a wide range of IPAs and one lager. So I was just slamming them. I had about 6 of them. It was very, very pleasant on a very pleasant day. It started to rain at one point, but that did not dampen our spirits.
The weather was crazy on Saturday. It's a mad storm. The storm was so severe down here that it cut out our Sky TV.
Really?
For like half an hour.
Have you ever used that AccuWeather thing where, like, these kind of weather apps nowadays, it's like, it's so kind of crazy because it's like you're in a situation where it can be raining in the next 3 minutes and the rain may last for 18 minutes. And it tells you that it's going to rain for the next 18 minutes. And it seems to be very, very accurate, like granularly accurate.
Yeah, so I've got an app called Dark Sky, which does the same thing. It basically tells you the percentage chance and exactly when it's going to start, and it is pretty accurate. But I also heard the other day, and I don't know if this is true, and you're more techie than me, so maybe you can tell me. I heard the other day that weather reporting since the pandemic has been a lot more inaccurate because there's a lot less data.
Oh, because people aren't manning stations and maintaining stations, right?
Yeah, there's not as many planes in the air, all that kind of stuff. So the data points are kind of less than fewer than they were. And so the weather has been, on average, apparently more inaccurate. But then, listen, what else is new, right, guys?
Hey?
It's probably because it's a bank holiday, right?
Didn't get that earthquake. Was it an earthquake? Was it Michael Fish? I can't remember. Or John Ketley?
It's a hurricane. How's he going to predict an earthquake? He's a fucking weatherman. Where's that come from?
That's in his remit, isn't it?
I don't think so. I'd be pushing back on that if I was him.
Well, where's our earthquake guy? We're always blindsided by them. Where's our earthquake guy?
Meeting on Monday with Michael Fish. All right, so we just want to talk about kind of enhanced responsibilities. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, what do you want me to do? So we've got storms. Yeah, that's fine. Hurricane. Yeah, yeah. Earthquake. Hang on, what? You do an earthquake. I don't know how to do that. I've never learned earthquakes. Is there a course I can go on? Not really. No one knows. Thanks very much. It doesn't happen.
No, I guess not.
It was a hurricane. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was brilliant as well, Pete, because the delivery from Michael Fish was amazing. Because it, so it's not
unequivocal, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily Michael Fish's sole responsibility to know exactly. He's obviously giving a best picture he can.
Well,
in his capacity.
He's already chinned off earthquake, so I don't trust him.
Yeah, but Pete,
it was
brilliant though, because he's obviously taken an editorial decision to say, right, yeah. Someone's emailed it, or someone's written a letter in or phoned in or whatever, because it was back in the 80s. Someone's phoned in asking about a hurricane, right? So tell you what we'll do. We'll use it on air. We'll do it in the bulletin tonight. All right, great. And the way he's done it, I think he has regrets about.
It's akin to like you going to a doctor's and saying, "I've been on NHS. I've been googling my symptoms, and yeah. I've definitely got brain cancer." And he goes, "Get out."
But rather than Michael Fish saying, "Oh, there's been a few reports about potential hurricane on the way," it's okay. Yeah, thanks very much for your concern. We're fairly confident it's going to be okay. Do remain vigilant, you know, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to be all right. He just goes, so-and-so has rung in asking if there's a hurricane on the way. Don't worry, there isn't. Like that. That's backfired. That has made him look like prat.
That's Chemical. Was it Chemical Ali? It was the bloke who was telling everyone. Comical Ali, yeah, because his job was chemical weapons. But yeah. he came as Chemical Ali because as the US forces were taking control of Baghdad, he was shown on television going, "We are fine. The Americans are not taking over."
And there's loads of explosions in the background.
Exactly. That was my Zoom background last week on the Stakhanov call, which I enjoyed immensely.
Disrespectful.
It's just nice to see him.
To a proud nation.
What, Iraq?
Yeah. Disrespectful. Why? To the people of Iraq, Pete. Was there anyone from Iraq on the call?
He was... I don't know. I don't know where everyone was from.
If not, he'd probably be fine. But I mean, just saying, do be careful. But what else do you remember about Michael Fish? Moustache?
The song about John Ketley is a weatherman. A weatherman. John Ketley is a weatherman, and so is Michael Fish. That's about it.
A Tribe of Toffs.
What's it? Was that? Is that what it was? Is that one of those kind of like super groups that had like members of like the EMF in it and stuff? Like
I think they were.
Doctor Who theme.
No, that's KLF, I think you're thinking of. But
right.
The Tribe of Toffs were like a legitimate 80s indie band.
Right, okay.
From the north, from your neck of the woods, I think, kind of around the northeast. Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Yeah, they. I think what happened was they kind of toiled around for a bit as an indie band. Then they had this song, John Ketley's a Weatherman, which is, I mean, if you listen back to it, it's kind of like it's a fairly competent indie song. But I think it made them a bit of a laughingstock. So it was a bit ironic, really, because they got presumably the fame that they're after.
Their hit.
But then they just didn't get taken seriously after that. So I think they just called it a day.
Who did Carter USM did Where's Me Jumper? Was that them?
No, that's the Mac Lads, isn't it?
The Mac Lads. I don't even remember them. Jesus. Well, exactly. Again, another band who I thought Carter USM had done that song and had survived it, but clearly.
Oh no,
not.
Sorry. Where's Me Jumper is the Sultans of Ping, isn't it?
Sons of Pink, sorry. Yeah, they had a bit of a career, didn't they? They were taken pretty seriously. Even
it's one of the best opening lines to a song. My brother knows Karl Marx. He met him eating mushrooms in the public park. It's a great line. and Carter USM, to round up this impromptu testing of my late 80s indie knowledge, it did The Only Living Boy in New Cross, which is their big song, which is excellent, in my opinion. And then they also assaulted Philip Schofield.
It did, yeah. He deserves it sometimes. The things he gets.
Big Phil?
He says. Yeah, he's always been a bit like kind of forthright on stuff. Bit smug, bit forthright on stuff. But then recently, you sort of follow him on Instagram stories or whatever. And he is hilarious because he's like, I think I spoke about it before on this on the show. There was like a Instagram story where he was in his loft. And there was a mystery beeping happening in his house. Beep, 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 beep. Not the car alarm, man. He wasn't in the loft. Beep, 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 beep. And he couldn't figure out what it was. He thought it was a bird. And all of his stories are just him drinking loads of gin and being pissed. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I really warmed to it. I didn't really like it. I didn't really like the Schofield that hung out with Gordon the Gopher in between that and becoming like a bit of a national treasure because people sort of always say that he's quite... He defends his fiefdom. He doesn't like anybody kind of coming in as guest presenters and stuff. And he rules with an iron fist. because he, as any television presenter is.
I thought people liked him because he was always cracking up with Holly Willoughby on the telly. I thought that was like his
thing. Yeah, they're very good together, but apparently he has a very he gives other presenters that work with him rather short shrift because he thinks because he's threatened by
One to know one.
I know, right? But yeah, he was just in his loft, beep, 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 and he's like, "What the hell is that noise?" And he just found like this mystery box that was beeping in his loft.
This is right up like Donaldson Street. This.
I know, it could have been like an old burglar alarm or an old smoke alarm. Right. Either way, he solved the problem by hitting it with a hammer. It was connected to the mains.
Mate, was it really?
Yeah, I think so.
When you've got the profile of a Schofield, you can't take chances on a mystery package, Donny. You and I'll be fine. We're not a target. Hammer, would you not just open it?
I'd probably ascertain what it was and what it was connected to and whether I'd get electrocuted before I hit it with a claw hammer. Yeah, I'd probably...
Was Philip Schofield in NAM?
But that's his thing. He's just like, you know...
Maybe he thought it was a booby
trap.
Maybe
it didn't even exist. Yeah, maybe he thought it was like a listening device or something.
Yeah. And Philip Schofield came out fairly recently, didn't he, as well? That was a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... if he listened a bit further for listening devices, I think he probably wouldn't have been forced out because it seemed very much not to be his decision.
Which, oh, really?
Once again, is...
Problematic?
It's problematic when it comes to the nation's press. I think we keep on being told that we have a very different press to people to the press we had 20, 30 years ago. But they have never changed. They've never shown that they've had any interest in changing. Look at the cover of the Sun and the J.K. Rowling domestic abuse thing on Monday or whatever it was. Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah, and Pete, you're the
rubbish.
You're the one who was apparently in central London this weekend, neck in pints. So you're probably part of the problem.
There were some. I didn't see many of them, but the riot police at one point piled into my road and set up a cordon near the bagel shop. And I was going, "What if I need a bagel?
What's cordon doing there?
What's cordon doing there?
Set up a cordon.
Yeah,
a little chat.
Set up a cordon." The thing is, set up a corner, but like they set it up like past a couple of I presume they were in Chinatown or whatever, like a couple of residents of Chinatown, and they were just like the Chinatown, the guys who live there, or they may even have been tourists. They were just like, I need to get back. I didn't get through the cordon, so the police just let them through. It's like, what's a cordon? You know what I mean? Like, what is EU?
That's the opposite of what this is for.
They just went, can we get through? And just kind of squeezed through them, and I was like, this isn't it. This is rubbish.
Saying now is that the police have been under such scrutiny worldwide since what's happened in the last few weeks that they've now gone the other way and they just let do what you want. There is no standard now. You do whatever.
Go where you want.
That's not what you want. Yeah. So there were apparently a bunch of these rather unsavoury chaps got off the train in the ends at the weekend as well, Pete. It was all my Facebook local group was all a flutter with a load of beery, presumably fat white men. Getting off the train and sort of tearing up and down the road. I don't know why they were doing it where I live because we're about 5 miles south of central London. So, but apparently reliable sources inform me that did happen as well. So
have they been kicked off the train, do you reckon?
Yeah, it's possible, shit. I think, yeah. But the thing is, I don't really know how that was possible because there was quite a lot of them and, there aren't any guards on those trains anyway. So
Who knows? Maybe they needed a wee.
That geezer who's just been sent down for 2 weeks for urinating next to the memorial of the police officer that helped to stop a terrorist attack. I mean, he's had a day. What a day he's had. I mean,
He did not pee on the...
It was next to it.
He peed next to it, according to Julia Hartley, brewer. Yeah.
Which is an internationally accepted form of deference. But the thing is, he's gone up to London and on his own admission to, in quotes, defend some statues, but he didn't know which ones. And got so pissed because he drank 16 beers, right? Didn't know where he was. Ended up urinating next to a memorial of a heroic police officer and been sent to jail for a fortnight. Can I please just say, I am not the only one who would love to have heard the phone call to his wife.
Or the phone call he received from his employer, for example.
I'm not sure he had an employer, to be
that's,
perfect.
That's what I thought. Looking at the lads, they all had these weird black caps on. Is that like a kind of dog whistly kind of, white supremacy thing?
It's probably for disguise, isn't it?
No, like everybody, there was a shot of like two men arguing of the tedious All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter versus,
I saw that,
versus
yeah.
what one of them was positing, Black White Lives Matter.
No, yeah.
It was a bit like, and I was like, where do all these black caps, why has everyone got black caps? I mean, they're protecting their baldy heads from the sun, but I mean, you know, oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, I don't really also like the fact that they've kind of styled themselves the Football Lads Alliance. It's like, I like football, leave me out of this. It's ridiculous. Football is not a link to this. It shouldn't be anyway. Like they create it as a link, and it has got historic links, and I understand the problems around it. But it annoys me, Pete. What I'm trying to say is, it annoys me that they can just form a group, which is basically a racist group, put the word football in their title, and then that just gets repeated over and over again. It's like, it annoys me, because there's plenty of people out there, myself and you included, who like football, who aren't like that. It's just, it's annoying.
Yeah, but I mean, I a long time ago stopped caring what people think of football. You know what I mean? It's just I think football is virtuous enough in some parts of its output to survive some just fucking pissed up, stellar, swelling fucking dickheads.
Yeah, I agree. Football's back this week, though, Peter. So we
can get not incredibly dangerous. I know. Yeah, exactly. We can start our own football alliance. Lads who literally like football. I mean, to be honest, you wouldn't have got that turnout if the Euros are on, because a lot of them would be out supporting them in Europe, wouldn't they?
They'd have had their passports.
Let's make that very clear. They'd have had their passports taken.
I remember once. You know what? Could I give you a vague memory of someone, like a friend of a friend of mine, who it must have been in the late '80s. You know what? It must have been the late '90s. It must have been for World Cup '98. I remember I worked somewhere, and a guy came in who was like tangentially a friend of one of the people that worked there, but he was a dickhead, and he was planning how to get to France for World Cup '98. Given that he's the subject of some kind of travel ban because he was obviously an idiot. And he had gone to great trouble to buy like a load of fishing equipment, right? And to hire a van. And so basically, on like the day before England were playing in France '98, was saying that what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a load of fishing equipment in the back of a van, so I'm going to France for a fishing trip. And even then, at the age of 17, I remember thinking, that's not the perfect crime, is it? You are a known football hooligan. There's a game happening in the largest football tournament in the world tomorrow in this place, and you are suddenly going to... You think you're going to get past the police just by buying a fishing rod? That's not going to happen. I don't think it did happen. But anyway, on another news, Peter, I want to cover something a little bit more positive and a little bit more interesting, because something came to my attention late last week, which I thought, I cannot believe I didn't know about this. And Peter, I don't think you do either, so I'm going to try and run it past you now. Are you aware of the place Pheasant Island?
No. Is it one of those kind of like islands, or is it one of these islands around like Japan that has like different animals on it? Like sometimes there'll be cats, sometimes there'll be rabbits.
No, it isn't. I mean, it'd be odd to call it Pheasant Island, wouldn't it, if it was? That was the case.
Yeah, but I mean, I presumed it would have pheasants on it. I'm assuming it's an island entirely inhabited by pheasants.
It's not, I don't think. I don't think there are any pheasants involved, weirdly.
Well, what?
Yeah, I don't really know. If you're going to ask me how it's got its name, I don't know. But it's an island, right, established by the Treaty of the Pyrenees in 1659 on a river called the Bidasoa River between France and Spain. And the administration of the island alternates between both Spain and France. So for alternating periods of 6 months, it's officially under the governance of the naval commander of San Sebastian, Spain. That's between the 1st of February and the 31st of July. And then between the 1st of August and 31st of January, it's under the governance of Bayonne, France. Isn't that cool?
It is, but it just sounds expensive for both parties to ramp up and ramp down a 6 month posting for certain amounts of people. It's a bizarre, interesting story, but I just think that the idea of sovereignty is so stupid in 2020 people are still having to do that.
Would you be all right, Swampy? Bloody hell! Would you?
I wish I did put that bit of turf on Churchill's head. Oh, get a bit of turf on his head.
Would you be even less interested to know that this island is entirely uninhabited and access to it is forbidden? So it's essentially really anything other than there's a piece of mud in the middle of a river. It's 0.00263 square miles big. Possibly why it's escaped our attention all these years. But I just thought it's quite an interesting little peccadillo. It's like that it's like that kind of ongoing proxy war between like Canada and Denmark or whatever, where they keep the flag in that.
It's a bottle of whiskey. Don't they bring a bottle of vodka like over? So
I just thought it was quite interesting. I don't know why it's called like Pheasant Island.
Can I have a bit of your garden? Can I just go and have a square yard of your garden?
Yeah, for 6 months you can have a square
yard. I'm not allowed in it.
By the way, Peter, speaking of my garden, and this will make you sick, as I kind of delicately try and take the lid off my Nalgene before you tell me off. The cherry tree in my garden has started
swearing.
yielding cherries. I've had like 30 cherries off it.
Whoa, that's cool. Yeah, I would not trust that you ate every last one. Didn't give you a good lady wife one.
No, we shared them among our family, Peter, because we're nice.
Hang on, so you got one cherry each family member?
Well, we went to my parents for a socially distant barbecue last weekend and we took them down.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see.
They tasted like shit after I sanitised them with a disinfectant. How good is that, though?
Great news. Yeah, cherries are one of the few things. Cherries and blackberries are one of the few things that I'd sort of see in mate's garden and chomp on.
How many other friends have you got that have got cherries in their gardens? I'm fucking disappointed about that.
When I was a kid. In the rural highlands of the centre of Hartlepool. Yeah.
Pete, wasn't there a documentary relatively recently where a bloke was out on the parks of Hartlepool hunting his own food?
Yeah, and then his missus managed to skin the animal. It was like something out of Red Dead Redemption. It was brilliant. Just skin the rabbit like that. It was amazing. Well done.
Was it brilliant or was it a little bit kind of
it's depressing in 2020 that anyone has to do that. But yeah. It's not a money part of the world, unfortunately.
No, nor is where I'm from. But what can you do? I'm sure it's happening down there as well.
What can you do?
Should we have a little break and then come back and do some emails? We've got a few good ones this week.
Let's have a little break then. Go ahead.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that. Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back to the Luke and Pete Show, and it's time for your emails. If you want to get to the show, it's really easy. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. That's hello at lukeandpeteshow. Is that right?
.com. Yeah, well done, mate. .com. I don't know why you spelled it. Well, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I feel like if people have got to the point where they're listening to this, they've typed in those words at some point already.
Oh, they've certainly found that email address when it comes to sending us fucking spam, you.
Yeah. Before we get into the emails, I've got a quick tweet here from someone whose name is anonymous. I'm going to try and find it. Do you want to feel for like 10 seconds while I find who it is, Pete?
Yeah, okay. No worries.
Thank you very much. Gary Walsh.
Gary Walsh.
No, it wasn't Gary Walsh. That's someone else. He was talking about fry-ups and pumpkin chocolate bread, just saying thanks. Not Gary Walsh. Although, hello to you, Gary. Dan Hales.
Dan Goal
has tweeted saying, my Bluetooth headphone connection dropped out at 17:23 of the most recent show in the gym, right at the point where Pete Donaldson said, I bet his penis is a right mess. Needless to say, I stopped my workout. Don't stop your workout there.
Needless to say, literally, that's what the story was
exactly.
About.
If that happens to you in a gym and there's a lot of people there and everyone hears it, stare down every single person in your vicinity. And then they will know that you are not to be messed with.
It's a power play.
Yeah, big time.
That's what I'm listening to when I'm getting jacked.
What's your gym soundtrack of choice then, Pete?
If I'm doing anything cardio, which I rarely do, and to be honest, I've not been inside a gym for a good 4 months, if not longer, I am a cardio punk rock from the Fat Records / Kung Fu Records stable. And if I'm just doing lifting of the weights, I can listen to a podcast because it's only like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then I'm finished. And then I can listen to, whatever nonsense is in my podcast hall.
Now, I'm not someone who, I hope you agree with this, Pete, certainly in recent years, I'm not someone who tends to judge other people for their music taste. Am I going to get away with that?
Right. Yes. Yes, that's fair. You're quite a broad church when it comes to music, fair play.
Yeah, so I'm saying this under kind of caution, and I don't want you to take offence, but every time I look on Spotify and I see in the right-hand column what my friends are listening to, and you are listening yet again to Alien Ant Farm, it upsets me.
You looked at that. That's a bad example because you're literally talking about what I was listening to yesterday. And the thing I listened to yesterday was what was I listening to? How do I find out what my last... Basically, it was the last track that I played on a punk style playlist that seemed to end with that. I actually was playing. Somebody actually suggested...
Hey, kids, would you like to hang out with me and listen to a punk-style playlist?
Somebody actually got in touch on the Luke and Peter Show Gmail about the film that we both watched. What was it? Annihilation.
Oh yeah,
Annihilation. Great Lawrence movie. Teixeira. Lawrence Teixeira got in touch. He said the music was composed by the duo of Jeff Barrow of Portishead fame and Ben Salisbury. They also scored the excellent Ex Machina and the show Devs, both created obviously and directed by Alex Garland. However, the music in The Cave that I really, really enjoyed was the only non-original piece in the movie. It's a track called The Mark Interlude by the excellent Moderat, a portmanteau of the German artist Mod Selector and Moderat, reminiscent of a more electronic techno Radiohead at times. Their third and second albums in particular are fantastic, and they have some interesting videos. I went on to Spotify, and I was listening to that a little bit over the weekend, so very enjoyable, very short. I wanted the refrain to be repeated for about an hour because I very much enjoyed it.
So I haven't watched that Devs show. Everyone keeps recommending it to me now after we talked about Alex Garland. It looks really interesting. It's about like it's a science fiction thing, isn't it? It's about like quantum computing or something. But it's also it's also got the guy Ron Swanson in it from.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good.
But that kind of music that he's talking about there. My friend's an electronic music producer, and he's very, very successful at it as well. But it's not really my kind of thing. I don't put that kind of stuff on very often.
You have to be in the mood. I think in films it's beautiful, but I think just listening to it yourself, it's the sort of thing that I could work to. I can't work with music playing in the at all in the slightest. I'll stick on a bit of shitty like Japanese.
Not even like instrumental music.
No, well that's obviously I'll occasionally put some like you know synthwave or some kind of like you know what's that stuff where they just slow down old disco songs.
Do you sometimes put on a enjoyable cover version of Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson?
Just to chill me out, yeah? I'm trying to find it. It's not.
Funny.
They basically just take slow... They just basically... A vaporwave, that's what they call it. I'll stick on some vaporwave because that's very easy to listen to. But all vaporwave is, they'll just take... I think I've said it before. They'll just take a bit of... a bit of like a kind of elevator music from an old tape that was supplied to like a Walmart, just to, you know, kind of shopping music effectively.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Inoffensive shopping music. And they just slow it down. And they don't do anything to it. They just slow it down and create this kind of blissed out, kind of stonery kind of dancing, like kind of chilled out music. And it's very enjoyable and very easy to work to. But yeah, nothing. It's not going to get you up to you know any kind of level of excitement.
I was listening to Ludovico Einaudi yesterday while working.
Who the hell is that?
He's like a. I think he's a. He's a quite modern. I think Italian composer, and he's got his latest release is like called 7 Days Walking. It's like a 6-hour kind of epic, which I guess is about a 7 days of walking he did once. But it's like it goes through all the different seasons and stuff. It's quite interesting. It's not something that you would put on unless you wanted a bit of background or you're doing some work, but I quite enjoy it.
Has he sold over 5 million units worldwide like Alien Ant Farm? I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not. I wouldn't have thought, no. I'd like to hear him do a... You know like when Metallica and Lou Reed got together in that record and it was fucking awful? I'd like to see Ludovico Einaudi get together with Alien Ant Farm. That'd be fucking good. Are Alien Ant Farm still around?
I think all bands are around now because, I didn't even like the cover. That came on. I don't even like their song for me was Movies. That's a good song. It's got
that's quite good. Yeah, I like that song.
It's got a bit of an emotional weight to it. Yeah, yeah. When you're dance stamping about to that, it's lovely.
I might listen to that after this. Right, Rick McCabe. As regular listeners will know that I do a little headline above each email so I can remember what it's about. And this one is man inadvertently helps create bird's home and then inadvertently destroys it. Thanks very much for the regular output during lockdown. You are appreciated more than you will know. It's nice, isn't it?
We're getting a lot of these messages where people have been sort of obviously in lockdown and they've been able to consume all of our awful volumage over the past few weeks, and it really is appreciated that the people are genuinely saying nice things. Like people are going as far as say that some of the Stick On podcasts have like really got them through some really hard times during lockdown. So it is.
Do you know how I interpret that?
Well,
I interpret like they're listening to us thinking, oh, at least we're not as bad as those two fucking losers.
Could be worse, couldn't it? Yeah, exactly.
I've got a proper job. and family. Anyway, Rick says he lives in Bickerstaffe in Lancashire, which I Googled earlier, and it's like a beautiful little village. And he said, a few weeks ago, I had a lockdown haircut in the back garden. My wife cut off all my hair with the clippers, a nice number one all over. Yesterday, I was trimming the hedges in the garden while listening to Football Ramble Daily, he says, and I saw that I had sadly dislodged a bird's nest, which now lay on the floor, empty. On closer inspection, I saw that the birds had used the hair from my head in its construction. As my hair is red, it's quite easy to spot. It was nice to think I'd helped the local wildlife to keep warm before quickly remembering that I'd accidentally destroyed their home. Picture attached. I thought it might be of some interest. And he has attached a picture, and it's wicked. You can actually see a bird's nest made of by a bird of his hair. And I can't work out if it's a bit weird and a bit kind of gothic or actually very, very life-affirming. And I think it might be a bit of both.
Oh, yeah, you can kind of see the hair in there. That's hilarious. This email only came in like 3 hours ago. I mean, still beautifully formed. Yeah, well done, that man. Like,
I've got a Google alert set up for the words bird's nest. That's why I got it.
It does sort of seem like he's been upset that he's had his hair stolen, and so he's taken retribution out on the birds.
Yeah.
Won't be stealing his hair. Where would you find his hair?
As he was doing it and destroying the bird's nest, he was overheard just screaming, "This hair has value! It has a monetary value! And I'm not asking you for your fucking feathers, am I? Give it back!"
I think, yeah, take some of the feathers. There are a lot of feathers in the nest, so, you know, feather your own head nest with some feathers.
Listen, Pete, he's feathering his own nest and no mistake.
Yeah,
and
no beautiful. Mistake. That's lovely, that.
I think we're out of time, by the way.
I think we are. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Time's against us, guys, but we'll be back on Thursday. Do you want to play us out, Luke?
Yeah, I'll play you out. What weird? Do you want me to do a little kind of ear trumpet? What do you want? Thank you very much for listening.
Tell us about the... Sure.
Okay, well, that was the Luke and Pete Show for Monday. It was expertly put together by Katie Baxter, who is our amazing producer and editor. It's a Stakhanov show. Do make sure you listen out to all the other Stakhanov shows. You can find them by going to stakhanov.studio or just searching Stakhanov, STAKHANOV, wherever you get your pods. We'll be back on Thursday. Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me as well. And if you get a moment among all this lockdown chaos, give us a 5-star review wherever you get your pods as well, because that helps us a great deal. And we look forward to talking to you on Thursday.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.